On News Radio 1350 KMAN.
And welcome into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples, Dave Lewis, and we're joined here today by Captain Tim Hegarty with the Riley County Police Department here, as we normally are. Normally we talked to you last week, but we had a little scheduling conflict here, so I apologize for that. And glad that you could make an arrangement to come out here today, Captain Hegarty.
Well, thank you, Brandon. As you know, normally Director Butler would be out here, but he's preparing for today's law board meeting, so he is predisposed to getting ready for that. And it's an important meeting because we're going to talk budget.
Yeah, it's that time of year, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Budget's very important. Obviously, maybe the most important thing here for any board, because you got to figure out where your funds are going to go and where they're coming from. But this is the first of probably a few that you'll have.
Yeah, it all depends on the law board's wishes, but we generally have a series of meetings. And the importance of it to a lot of members of the law board is that ours is the first budget that's set. And then the city will set its budget, and the county will set its budget. So much of what happens as far as the dominoes falling will depend on what happens with our budget.
All right. And, of course, a little different here this year. You have Director Butler leading it here. Are you expecting anything different here?
It will be slightly different for, I don't know how many people have ever watched a budget presentation. Assistant Director, former Assistant Director Doling was infamous for the detail that he would go through with every line item, and that was actually the wish of the law board at the time. We're taking a little different tack this year in the presentation. It's going to be divided up into the pieces that are going to see where that we're recommending increases in. And then the amount of detail and how far we drill down will really depend upon the law board and the questions that they have. So we hope that they like this new format. I think it's a good one, but we'll take the cue as far as what we go do from that point forward from them. And at the last law board meeting, the director announced that we would be asking for roughly a 3.86% increase. I mean, that's the starting point. He didn't give the details, and he said that's going to come at this meeting. So this is where all the details get unrolled. And for those of you, for the taxpayers, one of the things that we're doing this year as well is we are also considering one of the things that General Dotson, Commissioner Dotson, likes to talk about, and Mayor Dotson now, I guess, is well, what happens if you don't get this? What are the risks? What happens if you get half of this? What are the risks? So we've tried to look at every increase that we're asking for in terms of risk-benefit analysis. And if the status quo stays, this is what we expect to happen. And these are the benefits if we get an increase in this certain area. And that's probably the right way to do it. You need to be able to justify your budget, any increase. And really what a budget does is tells a story about what's important to your agency and the direction that your agency is going. And so I hope ours tells a good story about where we're headed and what we want to be able to do for the community.
And I know you probably don't have a lot of the details on that. That'll be coming out here later.
I actually have them right here, but I'm not going to share them.
Okay.
Because that would be a spoiler.
Yeah.
We hate those.
Yeah, but overall, compared to last year, how well have you guys worked within your budget here at the police department?
Well, we never exceed it. We really can't. Mm-hmm. I think we do a fairly good job of staying within the confines. One of the most difficult things to plan for and to fully fund is overtime, because you never know what kind of events, a 93 flood, for example, or some of the flooding that we've had, or a major homicide case. So you may budget X amount based upon what you've seen in the past, but I can tell you that all it takes is one significant case, one significant event, and there goes your budget. because, I mean, we have to respond. We have to be able to be there. We have to be able to investigate this case. And it is probably the most difficult piece of the budget to get a handle on. Number one, to fully fund it, because, you know, it always runs higher than what we budget for. And that's a decision between us and the law board, essentially a decision that the law board makes. We came to them last year and asked them to fund it more fully, I mean, budget more fully for it. And they made the decision to cut that back. Now, what always ends up happening is we're never fully staffed. So we, like every other entity, the city, the county, we budget for full employment, but we never achieve full employment. So there are funds left over to assist with those lines that are underfunded, because our budget is 85% personnel. And so that's where the bulk of any savings could come from. That's where the bulk of anything extra can come from to deal with unexpected expenses.
Right. Well, that's probably very similar to the other, you know, aspects like fire, EMS. I mean, they're probably dealing with the same issues that you guys are.
I would imagine, but because we're funded differently, it's a different situation. A standard police department, for example, you know, they have to deal with facility issues. The city has to pay for those. They're not as heavily into personnel as we are, because they also have their own. They share, for instance, City Police Department, Manhattan Fire Department, for example. HR is the city's HR. IT is the city's IT. Since we're neither a city or a county entity, we have our own HR. We have our own IT. We have our own custodial staff and fleet maintenance, whereas with city entities or with county entities, they would share those amongst the county and amongst the city. So we're kind of unique in that way, and a little different when it comes to budgeting.
Okay. In terms of you know, another part of that budget, I imagine is the jail. How much does that make up of the budget?
Well, in this budget presentation, it's going to make up a decent part of it from a personnel standpoint. Of course, we had to build a new addition a number of years ago, and facilities is a county issue, so the county's responsible for our facilities. So the county footed the bill for that, but we had to staff it. And one of the things that we're going to talk about today is an area that was built to be staffed, a second master control center that is able to observe two of our, we call them pods, because we have different pods for different classifications of inmates, was designed to directly supervise and be able to view a couple of the new pods, the new section. Well, we've never been able to staff that. I mean, it was designed to be staffed full-time, and it's not being staffed. And that's one of the things that we're going to talk about at the law board meeting, is the fact that it needs to be staffed. The law board agreed last year and approved additional corrections officers, but they didn't approve the funding. Therefore, we couldn't hire them. So that's one of the things that we're going to try to address, because is it a safety issue? Because the pods that this control center looks over has some of the more higher liability, higher risk inmates, and we are charged with protecting them and their safety. That's part of, I mean, I suppose you call them a part of the community, and we are charged with keeping the community safe. And so when people are in our custody, in our care, it's our job to make sure that they're safe, and that's part of the piece when it comes to hiring these corrections officers.
Looks like we got our first phone call here on In Focus, so let's go ahead and take that now. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Hello. Yesterday we had a bicycle guy on that was wanting to get in contact with you about your picked up bicycles that you used to have out in the warehouse there east of the police station. It was one item, and the other about hiring people. You know, you used to have one guy that was hired from the north end of the county, and they gave him a police car to drive home so he would be available up there in case something happened. Well, now the fire department is looking to get somebody up there in the north end of the county. You think we could hire some more officers from up here in this part of the country so we could have them up here with their police vehicles so that they could respond to items up here in the north end of the county more readily. And then we would have a tradition of providing police cars for each officer, and we could push that through with our new police chief. Well, thank you for being there.
I'll take the first one, and that's the easy one. We do still collect bicycles, found bicycles that we can't identify the owner, and then we send those off to auction. We have auction off our own property. We use an auction service. We don't hold our own auctions anymore, so that's how we deal with the bicycles. And as far as the North County, I no offense as far as your age is concerned, but you probably remember Greg Blumdahl and Larry Henry and Dale Farmer. Those were officers when I got hired that lived in the county, and they had their own take-home cars, and they were able to respond. And I recall as patrol division commander actually calling them out to respond to incidents. And I remember Greg Blumdahl received a life-saving award at the state level from the Kansas Association of Chiefs of Police because he was able to respond to a neighbor and save that person's life. Our county officers still do have take-home cars, but you're right in that not very many of them, and I can't honestly say whether any of them live in the county. But if there are people from the county listening and they want to work for the Raleigh County Police Department, man, we'd be more than happy to hire them and send them up there. Because you're right, having people embedded in that community, I think, is important. I think it's effective. I think the community desires that. But, you know, you hate to force. I mean, we can't force someone. Now, you need to go buy a house in the county and live there. So I guess we need to hold some recruiting up there at the shortstop and some of the places that that everyone visits, Nelson's Landing, and look for some people in the community, some homegrown people. And that's, I mean, that's what we wish that we could have, people like we did have. And I remember I lived in the north part of the county, north of Randolph, for just a few years before I became a police officer. And for those of you who remember, our cars used to be white over light blue. And I could always, when you saw one of those cars, or usually an SUV or a pickup truck, coming towards you, you knew it was an RCPD North County officer because you knew that color, and they were part of the community, and the farmers and the Henrys, and the Henry family still up there. I wish we could get back to that, and hopefully we can.
All right. We got to take a break. We'll come back with more with Captain Tim Haggerty, Raleigh County Police Department, after this on News Radio KMAN.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by the McCain Performance.